Moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy going to give you something to drink now. And I am joining you personally from the middle, the heart of the Bermuda Triangle down here in Puerto Rico, the Bermuda Triangle Research Base. We have in the Asheville flagship studio Sam the Animal Steel, as well as investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. And Shelley, we mentioned earlier in the show you guys were closed for a week to celebrate the 4th of July holiday. Now you are back open on a regular schedule. Business is booming. What's been happening lately at Wright's Coin Shop?
Just busy, busy, busy. Everybody's coming in buying gold and silver because the market's going up and things are getting crazy across the world and nobody's making any money in their bank accounts. So they're coming in and they're buying everything that we don't have nailed down.
Now, we have talked before about how, for some reason, people have this habit of buying when gold and silver is high instead of when it's low. And you're supposed to buy when it's low and sell when it's high. Well, gold and silver are continuing to go up. So now is a really good, well, a warning, if you will, for everybody to go in right now and start taking their Federal Reserve notes, which could be useless any morning you wake up, and transfer them into something that has intrinsic value, like gold and silver and precious metals, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about your current stock.
That is a very good question, because we have sold so much. It changes so much each hour, even every 5 minutes. We sound kind of stupid because we're asking each other, hey, do we have this? Do we have that? How much of this do we have? Oh, no, we don't have that anymore. So it changes very quickly. If you call me that morning, you know, 5 minutes later, an hour later, 2 hours later, it may be totally different. So you need to get your ducks in a row, get your money, come in, have your questions, and be ready. I think I've got 1 ounce bars and some silver rounds. Oh, I don't even know if I've got any silver eagles right now. Things are going that quickly.
Yeah.
Really, really that quickly. And we try to replenish our stock as quickly as we can. But you can also do wire transfers, and we can, you know, get it directly from the distributor for you. That way you would get it much faster and get it delivered directly to your house.
Yeah, your business is so connected to current events and the mood of the day that it really does represent and reflect what's happening minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. So that's why we really do implore everybody to, at very least, go to WrightsCoinShop.com. You'll see a photograph of the mysterious Shelley Wright. You'll get more information. And how can people call you, or better yet, visit you guys, Shelley?
Call me at 828-298-5402 or come see me at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville.
So, again, everybody, write this down. You can go to speakingofstrange.com if that helps you to remember to find a link with this information, or call, no matter where you are in the country, 828-298-5402. If you happen to be in the Western North Carolina area, their shop is not far from the Biltmore Estate, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. There's even a map for you there at wrightscoinshop.com. And, you know, occasionally, Shelley, your shop even participates in some special promotional type scenarios. For example, and Sam, you'll get a kick out of this, they recently even auctioned off a giant autographed portrait of me. Can you believe that, Sam?
Who was this?
I know. He was in his vampire cape.
Is this acrylic on canvas, or was this a transfer, a photo? Why was I not informed? Was he topless?
No, he was not topless. He was just very mysterious looking.
And I was bottomless, but I was wearing a cape.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And how much did it go for?
I don't even remember, but I remember who it went to.
Well, we can't say that. It was
And they are a huge fan of the show.
Man. I think it was something like $45,000.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And but you know, it was one of a kind, obviously. It was me in my vampire hunter outfit and sign. So somebody out there has this giant picture.
And when we say giant, what were we talking, 1824, 2436?
I think it was 20 by 30.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't have an ego at all, Sam. Don't ever accuse me of that. Well, here's an idea for a giveaway or some type of special promotion. Of course, we were alluding to the fact that our guest the past hour, Mr. UFO, Timothy Green Beckley, shared a story with me that was not appropriate for the radio other than the Dark 30 hour. And even Dark 30, I'm going to cut back on some of the graphic details. But let me warn all of you again, you know, tune out if you don't want to hear some of the more risque, sordid, and seedy stuff. And this is a story that he sent me that actually illustrates his fascination with synchronicity. So here we go. This is, I'll kind of edit this a little bit as I read it. So Beckley said in the 1970s, he was editing a publication called Adult Cinema Review. I told you this guy's done it all. And they decided to have a contest. And he says here, since the publisher was so cheap, the only thing we could think of was to give away a soiled pair of panties that had, that had belonged to a porn star. This is a particularly smelly fetish.
What, do you know who the lady is?
Yes.
Can you say it?
I may as well. He wrote it here. He says he would call these panties rank.
No, okay? not the smell.
But
the
no, I'm going to tell. I know what you mean. I've got her name here, but by soiled, I mean you can use your imagination. He writes what this means, and I don't even want to go that specific. But he says the panties belonged to Marlene Willoughby. I'm not familiar with that
name. I'm looking her up.
He's Googling her.
That's he spelled it Marlene, and last name Willoughby, Marlene Willoughby, a rather lanky but very likable lady.
Yeah, we got her. We got her here.
You got her? Okay. What does she look like, Sam?
Brunette, I would say your standard 70s, a lot of rouge mm-hmm. on the cheeks, a lot of makeup on, kind of a very dark perm, maybe some ethnic features, maybe Italian, perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean,
All right.
I'm not going to say anything else.
I would look it up on my computer, but I'm afraid it might interfere with our tenuous connection here.
Right.
Me in the Bermuda Triangle and you up there in Asheville. So he goes on to say, I think we had maybe 200 or 300 entries. We promised to present the panties in person to the winner, but since we had no budget, we had to pick someone from Manhattan. He said the cheesy prize of the panties was won by a New York City cab driver who was very excited about his good fortune, especially since, and let me just reiterate, these were particularly soiled panties, okay? So that was a little bonus for him. So he said the winner came to their office, and they took some pictures of the winner and his newfound fortune. And he was, you know, he was very happy to take this prize home that afternoon. So Tim said he figured he would never run into him again because, you know, here we are in a city that has millions and millions of people. So he said about 4 years later, Tim was roaming the city rather late at night when he suddenly heard the honking of a horn up around Times Square. He says, I couldn't figure why a cab driver would be honking, but the guy stopped his vehicle and called me over. It was the winner of the contest, and he was happy to see me and to show that he took the winning undies very seriously. 4 years later, he still had them hanging from the rearview mirror.
And that cab driver was Ben Bailey from TV's Cash Cab.
So that is Tim's idea of meaningful synchronicity.
Since it's dark 30, can I throw in my panty story real quick?
Yeah, please do. We've got a couple minutes. Yeah, Go for it.
It's pretty short. I was, you know, how often do you have a car down there in Puerto Rico?
I do.
Yeah. So how often, if you're driving your car, do you ever, like, if you're not at the car wash, do you go look on the other side, on the passenger side? I rarely look over there unless I'm, like, reaching across to clean something out. And I opened the door the other day to get some sunglasses out of the car door. I'm like, what's this red thing down here? And it's a pair of panties. Like, and they're not, like, that soiled. I mean, they're not they're not Marlene Willoughby soiled. But I was like, what? Whose are these? So I'm, like, running through my head, like, scenarios where this could have come in. No idea. No idea. I mean, I filtered out all the could-haves, the what-ifs, called some people. Hey, did you leave a pair of panties? No. Where did these come from? This is the unexplained. This is what, speaking of strange, needs to find out. Where and who do these panties belong to? And we can send them to as a prize.
Okay. Fine, let's do it. Let's send them the mystery panties.
They're think red. They have some lace. They're a petite size.
Well, think about the contest over the break here. And for some reason, this reminds me of an experience that my sister had. My sister said that she came home one day, walked into her house, went into the bathroom. The toilet was open, and there was a huge pile of crap in the toilet. And it's a great mystery to this day where this pile of crap came from. So that's kind of...
And every year at Christmas, the Warren clan gathers around the Yule log.
When we come back, I have a very strange story that mixes, believe it or not, toplessness with swastika rehabilitation week. This is a weird one. This is the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
And it starts sometime around midnight, or at least that's when you lose yourself for a minute or two.
Thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night. Changing, strangers.
on Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. This is the hour of the show that you might not want to listen to if you are easily offended, if there are kids around. This is when we talk about some of the material that's more controversial, outrageous, sordid, seedy, and...
if you're related to Marlene Willoughby?
Especially, well, hey, maybe we'll just get a call from her.
That'd be awesome.
And before we see what creative ideas that Sam has brainstormed for his panty giveaway, let me also say I'm sure that Christopher's computer is just delights and somehow being associated with this conversation. But the reality is I am here in the Bermuda Triangle, and Sam is there in the Asheville studio, and we are bringing this miraculous content to you via the technology of Christopher's computers. And so Christopher's Computers is located in Asheville, North Carolina, on Merriman Avenue. Christopher is a friend of mine. He has been for years. He's a friend of Sam's. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the computer business who will take advantage of you because computers are complicated.
In a bad way.
Oh, yeah. And they're complicated, especially when something goes wrong. If you get a virus or the thing's just sluggish, or if you want to buy a new one, you don't know who to trust. Well, I give you my word, you can trust Christopher of Christopher's Computers. Go to his website, christopherscomputers.com. There's a link at speakingofstrange.com. Or call them at 828-670-9800. That's 828-670-9800. If you have any questions about anything computer-related, I promise you, you will not be led astray, and tell him that you heard about him on Speaking of Strange, and maybe he'll do something a little extra special for
and
you.
And I'm proud to say that how many weeks in now, my Christopher's Computers remains pornography-free.
Yes, the time clock is ticking on that one. Well, Shelley, I don't know if you guys want to do a Wright's Coin Shop panty giveaway, but Sam, you have something in mind with the mysterious panties that have ethereally manifested in your car. What do you think we should do with this?
Maybe we could do something. We've been talking about catchphrases. You know, maybe you could throw out to your vast network of listeners, come up with a good bumper sticker slogan, a good T-shirt slogan, something that would encompass what Speaking of Strange means to you, something that you take away from it in a humorous or, you know, in a dark 30 kind of way, like not really dirty, but, you know, pushing the boundaries. And then like it, we send you a pair of panties.
How about whoever produces the best viral campaign?
A Vine. How about a Vine? That's pretty easy. It's like, what, 7 seconds? They could do a Vine video, you know? The best Vine.
All right. Well, you know, whatever your technique is, if you produce what we consider the best viral campaign to promote Speaking of Strange, then we'll be the judge of what's the best. We'll see the response.
They're
and
red.
Somebody out there gets some panties.
They're red. They have a nice about inch and a half or so of lace around the top. They've got a little bow and a rhinestone in the area. Relatively clean. Very cute. Don't know whose they are. In my car, shoved in next to the seat. And they can be yours.
Since they materialized from the ether, they could be an angel's panties.
It's really up to you. I'm sure you have a piece of equipment out there somewhere that could measure, like, photon levels of panty radons. And I don't know if that's the correct vernacular.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
Okay.
I believe that pretty soon, maybe as in next month, it's going to be time for the topless rally in Asheville again. Is that right, guys?
I don't know. I'm thinking, isn't it every month that's the topless rally in Asheville?
I'll look it up real quick, but it's not good stuff, man. I try to avoid that.
Yeah.
I'll find out. Here we go.
All right. Well, I have this news story here, and are you guys? I know that you've heard of them before, but do you recall who the Raelians are?
Oh yeah, they were a religious sect.
Yeah, something. R-A-E-L-I. Some would say, yeah, that's right, Raelian. Some would say it's a cult. Some would say that this is a religion. Some would say that this is a philosophy. I don't know enough to speak authoritatively, but my understanding is that the Raelians, they believe that we are intimately connected to extraterrestrial, interdimensional life, and they're all big time into cloning, and I don't know, they're into all kinds of strange things. So basically, this news story from the Huffington Post says the Raelians have decided that it's time for us as humanity to take back the swastika. And it says they're going to spend a week trying to promote this idea. They say they want to change the image of the swastika from one representing genocide and racism to its ancient meaning of alien well-being and good luck. So they say here that the Elohim elders, now of course we're talking about, you know, Old Testament visitors from beyond, considered this a sacred symbol, and that that for thousands of years this was considered sacred around the world to a variety of tribes and groups, and that is factual from what I know. And they say that, you know, basically Hitler ruined it, and it's time for us to say, hey, we're not going to continue letting this symbol be tarnished by Hitler's
youth
darkness. Yeah. And they say that the only way to show the Elohim elders that humans have evolved enough to accept them is to make sure the symbol is rehabilitated so people can accept and love aliens, and women are free to be topless. Oh, so, yeah, which, you know, I'm with this, sure, go. Yeah. So it says here, this is actually a symbol of good fortune, and they are doing a swastika rehabilitation week, and somehow this is tied into Go Topless Day. And so, basically, this is such a very – it's an uncomfortable mixture for us, isn't it, Sam?
Well, you see, originally, I remember being over in India, and I was on a plane, and I looked back. I was towards the front of the plane, and over there, there are newspapers that are kind of like that weathered yellow kind of paper. Mm-hmm. And I looked back, and it was like every single person was holding up a newspaper, and on the back of each edition of the newspaper was a huge swastika. And it blew my mind. I was like, what is this? I didn't understand. But it's used over there in Indian religions. It represents the principle originating the universe or life, Brahman, with the four swirling arms representing the four directions of the manifest universe or the four faces of Brahma. So in India, not still to this day considered a Nazi propaganda thing or anything of that nature, but still to a Westerner, quite disconcerting when you look back and you see like 238 swastikas facing at you. But I don't know if you can ever get away from that that
iconography.
Iconography. Thank you.
That's what the bear boobs are for.
And that, Joshua, is they're saying that North Carolina lawmakers are trying to get that banned. Representative Tim Moffitt and Rain Brown want to get a beefed up and decent exposure law passed here in Asheville, making it a misdemeanor to expose private parts in public and a felony to expose private parts to people younger than 16 for sexual gratification, breastfeeding being exempt from the law.
Yeah. They've been fighting that for a long time. And
It's legal here.
It is.
Shelly does it every day.
It's legal in the heart of New York City. You can walk around Times Square topless if you'd like. So, I mean, maybe that's another thing we can do. If you want to win the panties, you run around Times Square with speakingofstrange.com written on your exposed breasts. Hey, we're up on a break. When we come back, well, you knew we had to throw in a Florida story tonight, so we're going to get to a story from Orange County when we return, and it combines two establishments, strip club and barbershop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange.
Elle lutte, elle se débat, mais ne résistera pas. Je fais bloquer l'ascenseur.
Giant tropical centipedes share their territories with tarantulas. Despite its impressive length, it's a nimble navigator, and some can be highly venomous. As quick as lightning, just like the tarantula it's killing, the centipede has two curved, hollow fangs which inject paralyzing venom. Even tarantulas aren't immune from an ambush. This centipede is a predator.
Speaking of strange, I am Joshua P. Warren, and you know, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, you were down here in Puerto Rico last year, and we were in the midst of an expedition, and we all came back to my condo, and of course, here is this giant vicious centipede running around, and it became a big outrageous experience trying to kill this thing and get it out.
Yes.
I'm sure you remember that vividly.
I do.
So let me tell you about an experience that I had earlier tonight. So I a lot of times I'll try to take a nap for a little bit before it's showtime.
Oh.
And, yeah, how sweet. I
must
cuddle
be
up
nice.
With my little bear. Yeah. And so here I am trying to nap, and at one point here's what I experience. I wake up. And I look over, and I see something moving on the wall of the bedroom. And I put my glasses on, and at first I think it's a little millipede, which are harmless. But then it sort of expands, and I realize it's a giant, horny-looking centipede with all these hooked legs sort of squirming in a wave all around. And I of course, I'm looking at this thing horrified. And I jump up and I grab some kind of an object, and I look at this thing, and suddenly it darts for me.
Ew.
At lightning speed, and it leaps up in the air with its venomous mandibles sort of clipping back and forth, and I sprung as high as I could to avoid being attacked by this thing, and at that point, boom, I jump out of bed, and I realize it was just a nightmare.
Oh.
It didn't happen. And
and how much had you had to imbibe before the nap?
Well, you know, it's funny. The only time there's ever been a centipede in my place down here was that one time. But it's still such a creepy thing because these centipedes, I think they're like related to arachnids or whatever. And these giant ones in the tropics are so powerful, they can literally leap into the air and take out birds and bats and large creatures and inject them with venom.
And
so,
you just can't kill them. Ita tried her best to stomp on that thing. I remember, I went upstairs. I got to get something upstairs. And so you waited till you pretty much thought the whole thing was over. And here Ita is, and she's just stomping on the thing. And, you know, it just would not die.
I was the smart one. I fled the scene and let Ita handle it. Captain Ita.
Is that the better half? Yeah.
My best friend down here in Puerto Rico is a lady named Margarita.
Ah.
Not surprisingly.
Yes.
And we're talking now about an actual person.
And then Lauren took the
dog
out.
Oh, wait a second. That was another dream. but she's a retired Navy officer, and she's tough as nails, and she has a boat, and she's the captain of her boat. And Ita, she's always in charge of any situation, and there comes a time when, you know how it is, Sam, you reach a certain age, you're like, hey, I've been a man long enough, I'm just going to kick back and let the ladies handle this one, so, you know, because, hey, that's what they want to do. They want to be empowered, so let them have the centipede.
There comes a time in every man's life where you need a best friend who's a retired Navy boat captain.
Exactly.
It sounds like a TV show. He's the paranormal investigator. She's the boat captain.
Before I get to this next story, and hopefully Shelley's getting the bell prepared there, let me also remind all of you, if you didn't catch the earlier part of the show, that I'm going to be doing another Wishing Machine webinar this coming Tuesday, July 15th at 7 p.m. East Coast time, and it's all free. If you want to experience the fun, the interaction, all you have to do is go to wishingmachineproject.com, click the news section, and you can put your email address in there so that you get e-newsletters that are personally written by me and sent directly to you. It's totally spam-free. And I'll send you the information on, you know, where to go, when to go there. You know, here's the link, et cetera, et cetera. And you can watch it on your cell phone. You can watch it on your computer. You can ask questions, and I will spontaneously respond right there on the spot. And I have some really cool new stuff I'm going to talk about, including virtual wishing machines and a new concept that I've come up with called ASR. I'll explain what that is. And I'm going to give something free to everybody who is a part of the live webinar. So,
soiled
again,
panties.
Go to
soiled panties.
You never know. You never know.
You never know.
WishingMachineProject.com. And if we were going to give some soiled panties away, we might need to talk to some of our newsworthy friends in Orange County, Florida.
Hello.
They say there is a place, or at least there has been down there, where you can get your ears lowered and your pants raised. That was apparently the business model of a strip bar that was run out of a barber shop there in Orange County.
Awesome.
Undercover agents. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it, somehow?
Lovely.
Undercover agents working for the Bureau of Investigation conducted a months-long investigation, I'm sure they did, of Superfade's barber shop there before finally raiding the place. Says that they visited the barbershop by day and saw it turn into an illegal strip bar every Saturday night. Said, quote, on each and every occasion they were serving alcohol and they had strippers, and not strippers following local law, but strippers that went completely nude, end quote, and they would do whatever was asked for the money. So they say, along with the barber pole in front of the place, there was a stripper pole installed inside, and it was, of course, painted to look like a barber pole.
Awesome.
They say, quote, that would have been a piece of equipment that was there even when they operated during the day while they acted as a barber shop end quote. But it was, of course, treated as advertising by day and stripper pole by night. There was also a disco ball in the center of the room, as if that's not a giveaway. So agents went in there and they purchased $20 worth of illegal vodka. And they actually did this bust at, amazingly enough, about 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. So this is an all-night extravaganza. And, of course, they were especially horrified when they found that one of the dancers was a 17-year-old female who was a runaway from South Carolina. So they say when they realized that one of the dancers was a juvenile, well, that led to the need to speed the investigation up. The 43-year-old man who owned the place was arrested and charged with allowing a worker to engage in full nudity, allowing a person under 18 in adult entertainment, operation of establishment without a license, possession of alcohol without a license with intent to sell. He's in a lot of trouble, and police said the stripping pole has been confiscated as evidence. And don't tell me those police officers are not playing around with that thing.
You said that this was in Orange County, right?
That's right, Orange County,
that's
Florida.
South Florida, down near Miami, all that. I mean, now, let's just say, for the sake of anonymity, maybe I've heard, or, you know, stuff about some clubs down there. And it's Wild West stuff down there, man. There's, like, it's anything goes, and that's very well known. I think that they probably got in more trouble because of the liquor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
probably for
sure.
The alcohol violations.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably right about that.
You can do anything down there. Literally, I hear anything.
All right, well, we are we still got a little time, don't we? Okay, all right. Well, let me throw one more story out there then. This says Goldman Sachs Boys Club is being alleged as a secret Illuminati society holding meetings at strip clubs. Two former female employees of Goldman Sachs, who have accused the bank of gender discrimination, are seeking class action status for their case. A female former vice president and her assistant have filed the suit. They have accused Goldman of fostering a boys' club atmosphere where binge drinking was common and meetings were held at strip clubs, and they were forced to attend or face job termination. She said the most powerful men in America said good financial decision-making requires boobs and booze, and it's our job to come along to the meetings, like it or not.
Amen.
Okay, when we come back, we will be into the last stories on tonight's Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange.
When the little blue bird, who has never said a word, starts to sing, spring, spring. When the little blue bell in the bottom of the dell starts to ring, ding, ding. When the little blue clerk in the middle of his work starts a tune to the moon up above. It is nature, that's all, simply telling us to fall in love. And that's why birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. In Spain, the best upper sets do it. Lithuanians, and let's do it, let's do it, let's fall in love. The Dutch in old Amsterdam do it, not to mention the Finns. Folks in Siam do it,
Think of Siamese twins, some Argentines without means do it. People say in Boston even beans do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Romantic sponges, they say, do it. Oysters down in Oyster Bay, do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love. Cold Cape Cod clams, against their wish, do it. Even lazy jellyfish, do it. Let's do it, let's fall in love.
And we are in the final minutes of tonight's Speaking of Strange, the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. That is 828-298-5402. Let me also remind you, we all love the summer, but that also brings great storms with it. And already, of course, a lot of people in North Carolina have lost power because of the hurricane that hit the coast there. And we're going to see more storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods. You know, it's a part of life. And living without power sucks. So that is why I implore you to go to sunshinesimple.com and just learn about the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price guaranteed. It was designed and created by me and my team. I did it because I was out of power for a week and was miserable. And, you know, you can get a gasoline generator, but what do you do when you run out of fuel? Plus, those things can be awfully noisy and stinky and heavy and hard to work with. So just go check it out, sunshinesimple.com, and watch the free video. A couple of stories for you. There's one from Morgan City, Louisiana. A 28-year-old woman was arrested July 3rd in connection with a June 27th shooting. Says here that as the woman was being booked, a male corrections officer said that he asked her to remain still while he took her booking photos. At that point, the woman pulled up her skirt, exposing her genital area with no panties, and she said, "Here, take a picture of this and put it on your Facebook page."
Booyah, served.
The woman was hit with an obscenity charge for her alleged flagrant flashing of the booking officer. She remains incarcerated, they say. And last story. Now, this is one of these that I read it and I thought, really? And I had to get online and do some research to see if it's true. And yes, it is. They say if this gives you any kind of indication of the current phase that the world is in, whatever this means, the latest trend for bridesmaids at weddings is to pull up their dresses and show off their butts in photos. And we're talking about all of them getting together and lifting their skirts. Sometimes they have undergarments on, sometimes they don't.
I would not have flown in my Southern Baptist rearing, the rearing down. Don't think that would have flown at any wedding that I've been to recently.
I don't think so.
No.
And honestly, I mean, Mobius mentioned something about posting a link to some of these on Speaking of Strange, and hey, why not? Speaking of Strange.com. But, I mean, if you just go to Google and just type in, like, bridesmaids showing their butts or something along those lines, you will see a wide variety of these photos. And it's
do they make you happy? Do they arouse you? Are you doing it solely for journalistic purposes? Or
I find them so arousing.
Bored down there in the Bermuda Triangle?
I'm now requesting invitations to every wedding for the first time.
Hey, before we go, don't forget to request fun videos for free panties. Don't forget that.
We used to hate weddings, and now we love them. All the women are showing their arses off.
Still couldn't get me to go to a wedding.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, there's something very desperate about that.
I don't know the last time I went to a wedding where they're like, I remember one. There was like when we were bridesmaid, I was like, oh, hey. Generally, not like, I don't need them to be doing that. And there's a lot of stuff going on. You got a lot of dress happening. It's got to be hard to do.
And now they'll just keep topping each other and topping each other, and soon they'll just all be naked. But, hey, why not? We're an enlightened society.
Donkeys.
That's all we're going to say. That's it for this edition of the program. I thank Brian Hall, Sam Still, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter. And tune in next week for a brand new show. You are commanded.
I like to reggae, but you can't.